Well, this morning we're wrapping up our series that we're calling Daring Faith Together. We've been in it for about 3 or 4 weeks. I think this is 4 weeks now, and I hope you have been encouraged in the process to see that we can withstand the trials of life, that when they come against us, that we don't have to give up, that we can look up to God and know that He's there. Instead of letting fear drive us and stay on the path of fear, where fear drives us to the point where we give up, fear helps us to lose our focus on who God is, and eventually we get desperate, and then we just say that there isn't a God. Fear can get us to lose our friendships, even with our loved family and friends that can help us, because we just fear, and we're just afraid of everything, and it has this, it does this to us. It separates us from people. Fear has a great ability to kind of make you feel like you are all alone. And it's a weapon that the devil uses. Because he knows if he can get you to fear things, and if he can get your focus on all the circumstances of life and all the things that you can't control, because that's what fear is, or things that you can't control, or you don't know what the outcome is going to happen, so you become very fearful, or you're worried, or you get anxious. He knows that if he can get you to stay focused on the circumstance and the waves that are around you, that he can pull your eyes off of God, the only one that can actually help you. And what we're talking about is moving from fear to faith, and faith that does the opposite. Faith gets our attention on God. It takes our eyes completely off of what's going on. It takes our eyes off of the waves and the things that are battering against us. And it puts our heart and our mind and our soul completely focused on God when we start to walk in faith. And it's not easy at times because the fear is overwhelming. Because it's the fact of the matter, fear, worry, and anxiety is a real thing that people are struggling with. And what's amazing is the Bible talks about it over and over and over and over, because God says, I want to give you relief from fear. I want to move you from fear to faith. And faith is, the way that we maintain faith is that we ground ourselves and we root ourselves deep down in the foundation of what Scripture says that God is. That God is good, God is loving, God is merciful, God is in control, God knows what's going on, He is with you. Those are foundational things that we put our roots down into, and when those storms come, that we don't get knocked over. So that's what we've been looking at. And last week I shared with you fairly openly my struggle of several years ago, where I was being battered by the waves of life. I was being beat down. My dad passed away. Good friend passed away. A good friend and his marriage kind of dissolved. And it was just kind of one thing after another. And sometimes you just get buried by life and you get anxious and you get overwhelmed. But I'm here to tell you, and the reason that I shared that story is God is bigger than our circumstances. God is bigger than the waves that are going to come against you. God is bigger than any fear or anxiety or worry that you actually have. And we have to believe in that, and we have to put our faith in that, because He always comes through. It may not be in the timing that we want, but He always comes through and does great things. I asked Angie and Alex to do that song, because that song it was a song that really took me out of this dark pit. It helped lift me up and put me on my feet again. Because I told you last week that worship we need to actually start to view as a weapon. Because when we really start to worship in those dark moments, our eyes are lifted to God again. And the song just really spoke to me. And when I would start to sing it, I would sing it over and over. I'd put it on YouTube and watch it over and over and over. And everybody was probably going crazy in my family. And everybody was probably going crazy that was around me. Because even in the church, I'm like going, just play it again this Sunday. Oh, just do it again. Just do it again and again. They're like, okay, we played it like 10 weeks in a row. Is that enough? No, but it was a song that began to speak to the depths of my soul. Because God wants us to understand that our soul needs to be talked to. Our soul sometimes is so downcast and so overwhelmed that we have to reach down and say, hey, soul, look up. Hey, soul, God is still here. God is still present. God is still around. And as I would hum these words, and my eyes began to go off of the situation and circumstances that were overwhelming me, and started to lift me my gaze to God. And I started to kind of hope again and go, okay, you know what? These things are going to happen, and God has not left me. God is doing something here. And this song, when it starts out, all this pain. And, you know, and everywhere you look sometimes, that's all you see, isn't it? Is pain, honestly. Sometimes it's overwhelming. And the song just kind of, like I said, it moved in my soul and says, all this pain. I wonder if I'm ever going to find my way. You ever feel that way? Or you just wonder, is there any hope? Is there any way out of this? Is there any way that I'm going to see the deliverance of God and see restoration? Am I going to see it? And then it goes on. He says, all this earth Could all that is lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of dust. And when I got to that when I was worshiping over time, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's right. My God is the God who has created the whole universe out of nothing. My God is the one who took the dust of the earth and hand-formed his creation and put his image into his creation. That's who my God is. And those words began to get me to look up and go, okay, this is who you are, God. And then it says, you make beautiful things. You make beautiful things out of us. And I remember just hearing that and going, that's right. God is doing something. He's crafting and he's using all these storms and all these trials of life. And he's using every one of them to craft me into his unique creation. And he's trying to do a beautiful thing within me, even though I might not be able to see it. And as I was singing that song one day, Psalm 23 just kept going through my mind over and over and over. And so I decided, okay, just give in, open up the Bible, right? And open up the Bible and I started reading it. And I started in verse 2 and it just simply says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. I mean, when I read that, I just kind of had to pause for a moment going, okay, God has my best interest in mind. God understands that there's moments in life where we need to lay down beside quiet waters and evaluate our soul, let our soul get restored, let our soul find hope again. Because he's a God that understands our needs. And he says this in the rest of it. He leads me beside quiet waters, and in verse 3. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And as I read that, I'm like going, that's right. God restores my soul. He wants to do that for us. He says, this is the desire of my heart is to restore you and to give you hope again. I've sent my son in the world so you can have a relationship with me, Kelly. Kelly, my son has delivered you. Do you remember that? And it's like my soul needed to hear that over and over to lift it up. And God says, I want to do that. That's the kind of business I'm in, is restoring souls. Why is he doing it? For his name's sake. So people will see the souls that were broken down and outcast. They'll see them restored and they'll go, there is a God. There's a God that is in control. There's a God that is mighty. And then it goes on, and this Psalm, verse 4, just really struck me. It said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And when I was going through that really dark moment in life, I felt like I was alone. I felt like there wasn't, you know, God was, I knew he was here somewhere, but in that dark valley, I didn't feel like he was there. And when I read this, I had to stop and go, wait a minute. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why am I not going to fear any evil? Why am I not going to fear the situation around me? For you are with me. God is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I mean, and I started to get this kind of picture in my mind, because sometimes you can, in those dark moments, you can feel like God is just nowhere on the scene. You can even go to the point where you think that God is maybe, he created the universe and he's kind of spun everything into motion, and then he's kind of walked away going, good luck, hopefully you get through it all. Or you can even have the image of God, he's like on the other side of the dark valley. He's over there going, come on, you can make it, Kelly. Come on, you can do it. Like coaching us, trying to get us there. And all of a sudden when I looked at the psalm and heard the psalm in the depths of my soul, it was like, no, wait a minute. God is with me in the valley of the shadow of death. He is walking with me side by side, and he's using his rod and his staff to protect me and to make sure that I get out of the dark valley. All of a sudden I'm going, praise you, God. Thank you, God, that you're not a God that's off in the distance somewhere, kind of managing the universe, but you don't have any knowledge of me. Thank you, God, that you're not a coach that's just saying, hey, read my word and get some motivation and you can do it. Buck up. Instead, it's, no, I got a God that's right there in the valley saying, come on, I got you. Oh, wait, there's some more waves coming. Let me protect you. Let me guide you. Let me make sure that you're going to get through. And he navigates during those difficult times. And the great news, like I said again, is God is bigger than everything that we face. And maybe you remember the old verse, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I used to love that song that actually included that in it. I think it was an old Gaithers. I'm dating myself. But it was like one of those things that makes me look up and go, that's right, God is bigger than what we're going to face. I loved the VeggieTales when my kids were growing up, because it was God is bigger than the boogeyman. And it's like, you know, yeah, that's the gist of it, right? God is bigger than the things that bring fear and anxiety and worry into our lives. And I have to ground myself in that truth. And I told you that there's ways that those truths are kind of manifested in us. And it's really by grounding ourselves deeply in the foundation of who God is. And we have to start looking at the Bible. It's not just a Bible, not just a bunch of words on a page. Because if I asked you if you had a Bible, most of you would probably say, yeah. And if I asked you, do you know where your Bible is? Most of you would say, well, probably somewhere on a shelf that's gathering dust. Or some of you probably have multiple versions of the Bible, the NLT, NIV, NESB, or whatever it might be. We have it, but we got to start grounding ourselves in it and using this. We have to start viewing the Bible not like I got a Bible, not like it's a duty for me just to go in here and I got to open up and I got, oh, this psalm is starting to minister to me. It's not a duty just to get through this, but we got to start viewing the Bible as that this is a gift from God. This is the Word of God. This is an everlasting word that an everlasting God has given us. And he says, in his word, I want to do something. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to show you who I am. I want to speak to your situation in life because the Bible speaks to every situation and every circumstance in life, not just to fear and worry and anxieties. The Bible is relevant. Our culture is saying that these are old documents that were put together. They're old books that they're irrelevant and the teachings are old and they don't apply to our times. That is not true. Every single word in here, God breathed and he put into motion at the beginning and it will last through all times and it speaks to all times and all generations. And it does. And we have to start going, okay, when I get into the Bible, God, what do you want to do? God, how do you want to speak to me? Because these are your words, and your words are what lifts my soul. Can you? When I get into this, God, will you please come? Will you please show me and reveal more and more of who you are? This is not a boring book. This is a book that is life and death in it. And it shows us how to get through this life. There's an old band, and I don't remember what their name was. Burlap to Cashmere, that just came to mind. They sang this one song. It says, the Bible, it meant basic instructions before leaving Earth. And it's true. This is how we navigate here. This is how we find God here. This is how God speaks to us. I know a lot of people like to go out and they want a thunderous voice to have God speaking to you. That does happen occasionally, but very rarely. The primary way that God speaks to you and me is when you and I humble ourselves and get into his word and say, God, I need to know you. I need you to speak to this circumstance. Will you do it? And then all of a sudden you start looking at the words of these pages and they begin to speak to you. And it's a very relevant book. And that's why I keep telling you that Isaiah is a verse that you want to remember. If you remember 41:10, it's a powerful verse. It's a verse that has lifted me up from those dark days where I felt abandoned and left. But I knew I wasn't abandoned and left because he was still there. But I felt that way. But these verses help lift me up. And some of you have been on this journey with me, learning this verse, memorizing this verse. A couple people showed me where they actually wrote it down and had a sticky note because they needed that encouragement. And this verse, if you remember, it says in Isaiah 41:10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be anxious. Look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And it's those words that lift us up, and it's those words that speak to us in these darkest hours. And what's amazing is if you start to memorize Scripture, and you start to get it into the very fabric of who you are and the foundation of who you really are, and you're not just looking at this as a duty, but something that you have love for, something that you have passion for, and you start looking at this as the story of God. This is the story of God speaking to all generations. This is the love story of God saying, I love my creation and I am wooing them and I am moving towards them and I am going to redeem them. And if we start viewing it like that, then all of a sudden we can see our faith built up. Because the way that we build faith, one of the primary ways that we build faith is through the foundation of the Word of God. It has to become a passion for us. It can't be just something that we kind of go, oh, it's no big deal. Or if I got time, I'll do it. Because this Bible speaks. It speaks to worry. It speaks to anxiety. It speaks to fear. I just thought, hey, Kelly, why don't you just look up, you know, these phrases. Do not fear. Do you know how many times God referenced that phrase in the Bible? 264 times. Do you think he knows us? Do you think he knows that we fear? Do you think he knows that we worry, that we have anxieties? You betcha he does. And I looked up this phrase, fear not. 440 times, actually over 440. I think it was 446. God says, fear not, because I am what? I am your God. Fear not, because I am with you. And then he says, do not be afraid. You know how many times he says that? 160 times throughout Scripture. So over 660 plus times he says, don't fear, don't be afraid. You know, fear not, because he knows that we're fearful people, because we look at the circumstances. And he goes, I want to speak to you. I want to bring healing. I want to bring restoration. I want to bring you hope. I want your soul restored. And the way that he does it is through his word. And if you're not in it, you're not going to hear it. This word is so relevant. I know everybody likes to listen to our modern-day theologians and modern-day scholars and modern-day wisdom and all the intelligence of man. But I'm just telling you that all the intelligence of man and all the theologians that are basing their things not on the Bible, but basing things of what they think they know, what they are doing is they're trying to come up with their best ideas of how things work, and they have no clue. And all those things that they tell you, all those things are going to fade away. Not every theologian, not every intellectual person is going to be able to speak to your issue, but the Bible does. The Bible speaks to sexuality that we're struggling with in our culture. It speaks to depression. It speaks to broken marriages. It speaks to how do you get into a relationship with God. How do you find healing after death? It speaks. It is relevant. It's not just a hip thing. It is going to last for all generations. And I love the way that God says this about his word. He says this. He says, the flower will fade and the grass will wither, but the word of God will stand forever. When all these theologians, all these intellectual people, when all of them are dying and fading away, when all the hipsters, trends that kind of go through life, when all those things fade away, you know what's going to stand? The word of God. And he says, it's going to stand for all generations forever and ever. When this world gives way, this is going to be standing. And this is it. And why can I say that? Because it says that Scripture is God-breathed, that this is the word of the living God, and there's a living word that speaks to us. But I keep hearing this from people. I don't have time to get into it. How can God speak to you if you don't get into this? This is the primary way that he speaks. This is the way that he builds our faith. And maybe you're still thinking the Bible's obsolete. Maybe you're still thinking it doesn't speak. Well, Psalm 94 is a psalm that has always spoke to me. And it speaks to our generation and what we're facing right now. And it says this, when I said, my foot is slipping, your love, O Lord, supported me. I mean, our feet are slipping all the time, aren't they? I mean, we're giving up hope. And look at what it says in verse 19. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. God's word speaks to anxiety. It speaks to every issue that we have. It is so relevant. And we want to build our life in that foundation. So when the waves come crashing, we don't just cave in. We stand tall with God. God's the one who's supporting us. God's the one who's our defender and fighting for us. There's another verse that I just want to look at in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. And we looked at this a little bit, and I want to just kind of flesh out the last part of it. It starts out in verse 4 saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Rejoice in all circumstances? Yeah. Oh, my marriage is struggling. My friendships are broke. I lost my job. Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the truths of the Lord. It's not this fake rejoice. Like, I'm so happy that I lost my job. I'm so happy that I got these struggles. But I'm rejoicing because of who I have as my Lord. I'm rejoicing in him. Why can I continue to rejoice? Why can I let gentleness continue to come forward? Because the Lord is near me. He's with me. That's an anchor. That's a truth that we ground ourselves in. And then it goes on in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything. But in prayer, But in everything, by prayer and petition and with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And we talked about that. We said that that you just need to take time. Go ahead and pray. Pray, say, God, take this circumstance away. And maybe God will take that circumstance away. But if he doesn't, don't give up on God. Continue to pray. Continue to bring it to him. And then all of a sudden you move from bringing it to him to start saying thanksgiving and praise. Because last week I told you that worship is a weapon that brings us into faith again, and it drives out fear, because worship and fear cannot be in the same place. Praise and fear cannot be in the same place. It doesn't work. Because it says where God is, that his perfect love exists, and his perfect love is what drives out fear or casts out fear. So when we have these moments, we just really got to dig into God and really pray and really be thankful for who he is, that he's righteous, he's holy, he's there with me. And you say those things and you're grateful for that. And those things lift you up. And when you do that, what's it say? It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. And I just love that, because it means that God is going to camp over you and guard you, so you don't keep going down to that deep dark hole and that worry and fear drive you. And then it goes on. It says in verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the peace of God will be with you. So as Paul at the end of that says, to focus on the things that are trustworthy, focus on the things that are admirable, focus on the things that are noble, focus on who God is, because he's all of that. Because we like to focus on all the little things, don't we? We like to focus on our circumstances. We like to focus on when we hear people saying, oh, I'm so sorry that you're going through this very difficult struggle. I'm so sorry. Oh, it's got to be really bad. It's got to be really stinky. And you hear people talking and they're just kind of like rubbing it in and kind of heaping it on. There's a point where you need to hear, hey, I'm sorry you're going through this thing. But there's a point you need to hear somebody saying, hey, stop focusing on that. Get up and start focusing on the truths. Because we have a tendency to migrate and stay down in the hole. We like that spot. Because in that way we get sympathy from people. That's not what we're looking for. You're looking for healing of the soul. Healing of the soul happens when you reach out to God. And you focus on those truths. And you're focusing on the things that are admirable. The things that are trustworthy. Not on the things of the world. Not on what somebody else is telling you. But on what God is telling you. Again, you tell me that this Bible isn't relevant. I'm just going to tell you over and over and over, it is so relevant. And it is so powerful when you start to fall in love with it. And you start to look at that, this is the foundation of my life, because this is God's word. The living God spoke these to me. The living God wants to reveal himself to me. The living God wants to speak to my life and my circumstance that I'm in right now. You say, I still don't have time. Stop making excuses. I'll just be bold. Stop. You got time for credit cards, you got time for earning money, going out and spending money, you have time for going out and playing games, you got time for grabbing your iPhones and texting and internet, you know, surfing, you have time to get on the computer, you have time to meet with your friends, you have time to go out to the bars, you have time to do whatever you want, but get into the Bible, right? How do you think you're going to get healing of the soul unless you search after God? He says, if you search after me, you will find me. Well, the Bible's hard. I understand that. But when you approach it with going, God, speak to me. God, I want to understand you. God does something. He lifts your eyes up somehow to understand things that you could never understand before. Because it's the Spirit of God is leading you through it. Well, maybe you don't like to read. Well, let me just take one of your excuses away. This is an iPhone. Maybe you have an iPhone. You have a smartphone of any other kind. There's an app called YouVersion. You ever hear of it? Most of you have YouVersion on your phones. So you don't like to read. Well, the really unique thing about YouVersion is you feel lazy, you feel tired at the end of the day, you don't want to read. You just kind of select this little thing and it reads it to you.
Nothing can separate us from God's love. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us?
I mean, so you have no excuse, right? See if I can get this to go off now. And he's just going to keep reading. See, that's the powerful thing actually about this, is you're in the dark hours, and you don't know how to pray, you don't know how to even read scriptures. You click that on, and sometimes it can be a woman's voice, sometimes it can be an old English voice and a guy's voice, and sometimes it's this guy's voice. And you click that on, and you let that start reading to you. And as it starts to read to you, all of a sudden those words of God start to penetrate your heart, and they start to lift you up from the bottom of the pit. And then you say, well, that guy's voice is going to put me to sleep. Well, praise God. Some of you need to sleep. What better way to fall asleep, right? Than to have somebody saying the word of God over you, and then as you're sleeping for 8 hours, it's speaking the word of God. Because the nice thing about this guy is he doesn't get tired. He keeps on a reading. And you wake up in the morning at 6 o'clock after having 8 hours of sleep. You've just had the word of God praying over you for 8 hours, and you wake up to the word of God being spoke to you. Do you have an excuse anymore? Absolutely not. Almost every person that I know in my generation and the generation underneath me has a smartphone. So let's start using them for the glory of God. Let's start using them to talk the word of God to us. So it's important for you and I to build that foundation in God. The second thing that helps build up our faith is community. Yeah, building ourself on the foundation of God's word and the character of who God is, that is essential. That builds faith. But it's also working in a community of believers that builds faith. Too many people are trying to build their faith in isolation. It doesn't work. You can't build your faith in isolation. Yeah, you can grow a little bit. But God has designed, the way that he works is in the community, which is the local church. And Ephesians says it this way in verse 14. It says, for the reason I kneel before the Father, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Did you understand it? Did you catch that? That we're a family. People who believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you're part of a family, and you have a name, and it's called his people, the church. And he says, where faith is built is within the body of Christ with each other. And Paul goes on in Ephesians, says, I pray that out of this glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through the Spirit, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together, and see that together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, and that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You notice it said together in there again, that we're a family, that this happens together. That's how we grow. That's how faith is truly built. And in that scripture that Paul just prayed, everything that we want is in that scripture. We want to be strengthened in his power. We want the Spirit to work in our innermost being. We want to be rooted and established in love. We want to know how high and how long and how deep is the love of Christ. And we want to know that he has a love that surpasses knowledge. We want to know that we can be filled up to the full measure of God. And he says, you do this in community of believers. You build each other's faith. And this is how it kind of works. There's moments where I'm in that dark pit, where I'm feeling pretty low. And at that moment, there's another person that's just been lifted out of the dark pit, and God has been restoring them and setting them on their feet again. And then all of a sudden, that person begins to talk to me or share with me when I'm down here what God has been doing in their lives. God has been moving. God has restored me. God has given me hope again. And all of a sudden, they start sharing with me in community, and they start sharing some of their struggles of life. Then all of a sudden, I am lifted up in my faith, because I start seeing that God was working in them, and God was still in control. God was watching over them. And all of a sudden, I can start to be lifted up. And it's those little stories of faith that lift other people up. And you're saying, maybe my story is too small. There's not a story of faith that is too small when God delivers. What happens, that little small story of faith that you might think is small is going to be a huge faith builder for somebody else. And it's not until we become the body of Christ where we're actually sharing in faith what God is doing in us. And we're growing together in faith that all of a sudden our faith is built. And a couple weeks ago, Josh Cohn's kind of said he could lead some worship for us here at the church. And I was excited, but I was busy. I was doing youth group. I was doing all the things. I didn't get a chance to talk to him, tell him what I was even going to speak about. And that Sunday, can I just tell you, God did some amazing things. Every song that Josh Cohn's picked, even the very words that he said, lined up exactly with my message. And all, you know what I was doing? I was sitting there going, oh my goodness, God is so good. God is so powerful because he's in control. He's orchestrated all of this. Even though I wanted to control it, he's already took care of it. And it got me to think this. God is really moving here. God is doing things here. God wants to do powerful things through the body here at Gaines Church. And when you see him moving like that, you start to go, okay, God, you're moving. Let's go. And God wants to do great things, but it's us becoming the body again. It's us caring for one another. It's us loving one another. It's you sharing your story. We have up here, you're probably wondering what this is all about. You'll see the Sandy Good, you have Bernie Rogers, you have Jackie Stevie, you have Carol Myers, you have Marion Post and Juanita Gingrich. These are people who are struggling with cancer or sickness that is so down and is so overwhelming for them that they are in a dark hole. I want us to do something at the end of the service, and I know it's going to cost you a little time, and you might not get the burger right away, but you'll get one. Is I want you to come in, maybe you don't know them, I want you to at least sign it, but maybe there's a verse that lifted you up that you could write down here, or you could just have a little word of encouragement. I want us to become the body to these people. I want us to step in the gap and say, you know what, we want to lift you up. Right now, your faith is weak. Right now, you are wondering how in the world you're going to get it. Well, the body of Christ is going to come alongside and say, we're going to show you the love of God. And once the body of Christ starts to show the love of God, you know what happens? God shows up with his love, and his love drives out all fear because it's a perfect love. And that perfect love is usually displayed through you and me. So we need to start becoming the body at a deeper level, not surface, much deeper, where we're caring for one another, we're loving for one another and sharing. And that's how God builds our faith. Third ways that he builds our faith is, you know, we go through trials. He builds our faith through fire. We don't want to go through trials. We don't want to experience trials, do we? But God says, I'm going to build your faith in these moments. And James says it this way in James chapter 1, verses 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know. In other words, you're going to have lots of trials. You're going to experience lots of difficulties here. But when you face them, you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Do we want trials? Do we want struggles? Not really, but yes. Why? Because we develop perseverance. We mature. That's where God quite often works, is in those dark hours. I know for me, the greatest growth I have had in my personal walk with God has been during the darkest hours, by the bedsides, by the deathbeds of people. Because those are those lower moments where I was open to God. I was open to say, God, I have nothing but you. Everything else is caved, but you're still standing. And I cling to him in that moment. And then all of a sudden, God in those moments, he wants to strengthen us. So that way when we face another thing, we persevere. And we show people in this world that we have a God that can be trusted. A God that is with us. And then as we close, the last part of faith is simply this. And it's the foundational part. You have to believe. The way that God uses faith and builds faith is when we put our faith in Christ. When you say that, not I believe that he was a good guy, and not that I believe that some of his teachings are fundamental teachings and great for moral lifestyles. That's not what Jesus said about himself. When you start to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who came into this world to die a sinless life and to be placed on a cross and to be crucified, and on that cross he took on your sin, the penalty for your sin. When he bled, his blood bought you and paid your sin and cleansed you and made you holy and righteous before God. And you believe that when he was buried in the tomb, that you were placed in the tomb with him. And then when he rose from the grave, you rose with him, spiritually speaking. And you believe that he is now seated at the right hand of the Father. You believe those things. That becomes a faith-building thing where you start building your faith. So God says, I want to build faith. But you and I have to be so rooted in who he is, that our roots go sink down, so down deep into his word, that eventually that nourishment that's down in there in our roots gets pulled up to our trunks and goes out to our limbs, so that way we can withstand the storms and we don't get blown over anymore. Because it's, I want to do this for you. And we have to remember this last thing. He's in the process of making beautiful things. He's in the process of crafting you and making you into something new. And you don't want to miss that. When you face the next trial, maybe you could just kind of simply say, God, show me who you are. Show me what you're doing. I don't want to miss you. You can pray that God will take the trial away, but he might not. But just pray that you don't miss God and what he wants out of you in the process. And as he makes you into something new and something beautiful, he wants to show you off. He wants you to share your story with other people. And that's how we build in faith. So as we close, don't forget at the end of the service to take a moment and just write a note to somebody, these people. Maybe you don't know them. Just do it. If there's not enough room on the front, flip it over, write it on the back. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you today. And God, I thank you that you are a God of your word. That you are a God who said that I've sent my son into the world to buy you back, to restore and to redeem, to make new. And Lord, we just ask that as we face these trials, that our faith would grow deeper and deeper into you, Lord. And as we face those trials, Lord, help us to overcome them. Help us not to lose sight of you. When the waves are bashing against the side of our lives, that we would look up and we would see the fullness of who you are. That you are there walking with us. You are there wanting to do something inside of us that is greater than we can imagine. But God, I would ask that you'd help us to be a people who are faithful and trust you and take you for what you say you are, a good, good God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.